Welcome to the morning show today on WRCO Radio. I'm Ron Fruit. Today, it's a privilege to be able to welcome Richland County Board Chair Marty Brewer and the Mayor of Richland Center, Todd Coppernall, to our studios. While both have important roles in our community, critically important, both are here today to talk about a common interest, and that is the ad hoc referendum committee that has been formed to look at the financial status of Richland County. And we're going to do that. It's an important program today. I'm glad you're with us. But Mayor, let me first of all give you an opportunity. Saturday, you've got a little cleanup and maybe some residents who are a bit concerned that would appreciate an update from the city today.
Yeah, we'll do that. Before I do that, though, I'm sitting here with Ron Fruit right across from me, and I can see Phil Nee in the next room through the glass. This is going to be a great show. You can't ask for a better team than that, right?
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Okay, large item pickup, of course, took place in Richland Center Saturday, and yes, there are some areas of town that have not been finished yet and some items still at the curb. We're aware of that. The city street department sets this event up with Town and Country Sanitation twice a year. And this morning I spoke with Terry Nelson, who of course is the street supervisor, and he's in touch with Town and Country, and he will call WRCO today with an announcement on when they'll be back to finish. I don't know if people remember this or not, but the same thing happened in the spring. I suspect it's simply a manpower issue that they're dealing with at Town and Country. I don't know that for certain, but that's what I suspect is the case. So Terry is driving through the city right now, making sure he's got a full accounting of the areas that are left to be done. He'll be in touch with Town and Country any minute here, and when he's got an announcement, he'll call down here, and WRCO will get that on the air.
So if I'm one of those individuals, and I had my stuff out on time by 6 o'clock Saturday morning, and it wasn't picked up, I shouldn't panic. I should be patient and let things take their course.
Right. Just sit tight. As I mentioned, our street department is working on this with Town and Country, and there will be an announcement today.
Sounds good. Well, it's good to have both of you here today. Marty, I welcome you back to the morning show.
Good to be here, Ron.
Thank you. I think about the referendum committee, and both of you, of course, are keenly aware in that regard. But this really is an effort to educate the public, and your visit today with Mayor Coppernall is a furtherance of that effort, is it not, to provide us as a community and a county with information that we need to understand where we're at and where we need to go?
Yeah, nothing is obvious until you delve into the background. Why are we here? Well, how did we get here? How will we get out of it? And the makeup of the committee, the referendum committee, the ad hoc committee, I'll call it, is made up of various people, not only county board members, but the mayor of Richland Center is participating. We have a school board member, and now the president of the school board. Is that right, Todd?
Yes, Mr. Aaron Unbehan, yeah. Who is now the new president of the school board for the Richland School District.
So we have a lot of good minds on that referendum committee, and they've come up with some of the overall structures of probably what it's going to look like, but we are still several meetings away from them bringing, they'll bring their recommendation to the finance committee, of which I am the chair as county board chair, and then it will go to the county board for final resolution.
But we're really working with a fairly narrow window here, aren't we, Marty?
Very, very narrow, because the committee has to come up with a recommendation, I think, by the end of this month, because then if we pass it through the board, it would have to go to the state elections committee or commission and be examined as to, is it proper, is it worded correctly, can you, and then, when we heard back from then we would probably try to get it on the spring election.
Let's talk about what the role of the referendum committee is, and maybe at the same time, Mayor, talk about what the role of the committee is not.
Excellent point, Ron. So here's how this all came about. Back in June, County Administrator Clint Langreck publicly announced, this is where the county is with its budget. We've got the money to get through 2023. We won't have it in 2024. Let's get to work. And essentially listed everything that the county spends tax levy dollars on, to point out that if you're going to cut, that's pretty much where you need to look, and therefore review everything. Marty, would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. And I think as a referendum committee, ad hoc committee, or even the finance committee of the county board, we cannot go to our voting public, our constituents, our taxpayers, and ask them to do you want to increase your taxes unless we have examined every program in which the county is involved?
What happened then is the county board made the decision to assemble what we were referring to as an ad hoc referendum committee, and they chose to ask for a representative from city government and from the school board to participate in that committee. And the reason they did that is because, of course, we're a small community, one small county with one small city, and any cuts or changes to the county budget that may come from all of this could impact the budgets for the city or the Richland School District. Maybe they won't, maybe they will, but they felt, I think in a gesture of fairness, that they should have representatives from the city and the schools involved in this committee so that there weren't any surprises later, and also just to make sure to give us the opportunity to inform the people around us, because this is obviously a big deal. So I got a phone call from Clint Langrack asking me for an older person, a recommendation for an older person that would serve on the committee, and I refused that, and I told him no. I said, if you're going to have a representative on this level from the city government, that should be the mayor. And that's not because it's me. It's because of the position of mayor. In my opinion, if you're going this big, it should be that role, that person in that spot. So I said, if you're going to have a city representative, it's me. And it is. And the school board chose Mr. Unbehan, who at the time was not school board president, but he is now. So that kind of worked itself out, and we have those two representatives with several county board members on the committee. And what we're doing, just to be clear.
I'm going to interrupt you a moment here, Todd. The committee is chaired by county board vice chair Sean Murphy Lopez, and this is a guy that gets to the bottom of things and is a hard worker. And no one will outwork him on the committee, I'll guarantee you. So just a plug for Sean. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you.
And what the committee's doing, we're gathering information, sorting through it, to decide whether or not to recommend to the county board that they go to referendum to help cover county costs beginning in the 2024 budget. No decision has been made on this point. No decision has been made to cut anything yet, regardless of any rumor you may have heard. The purpose of all of this is to literally review everything the county is spending money on, sort through it, where are things, why are they there, what to do next, and then this committee will make recommendations to the county board, and the county board will make decisions at that time. Decisions have not been made to this point.
In fact, the recommendation that you make, the finance committee then gets it, the board gets it. They could do exactly the opposite of what you would recommend, even though I'm not anticipating that. But still, yours is, well, I guess the point I'm trying to make is, it's just a recommendation, correct, Mayor?
It's a recommendation, and I can't tell anyone yet. We don't know yet what recommendation that might be. We're not that far yet. And we realize that this is precisely why I said, if you'll have someone from the city, you'll have the mayor. This isn't easy. This is a very big deal, and it affects 17,300 people who live in this county. There's no way around that truth. So I stepped up, and these other folks have too, and we're working very hard on this, taking this very seriously, but there haven't been decisions made yet. So turn the rumor mill off and sit tight. The county board, as it should, will have the final decisions. The folks that were elected to make choices for the county will make those choices.
So what kinds of things have you been looking at? And on how would you assess how things have gone thus far with the ad hoc referendum committee, Mayor?
Committee's working very well. Sean has provided excellent leadership. And what we've done, everybody show up with an open mind, okay? There's no emperor in the room. There are several of us there, and everybody participate, ask, and listen. And what Sean's been doing is sharing information with the committee, county expenses, basically. We're spending this on that. We're spending this over here. The last time we cut this was this. And then we get into the state's role in this with state revenue sharing and what that's done over time. And I'll let Marty expand in a minute, but the truth is the revenue share from the state has actually decreased over time. And as everyone knows right now, we're in an inflationary cycle and all of our bills are up. Everything we buy is more expensive than it was a year ago at a time when state revenues have gone the other direction. You can see how this doesn't work so well, right? So I'm going to stop for a second at that point and let Marty handle that.
Back in 2001, I should explain what revenue sharing is. This is a program that was set up by the state of Wisconsin back in the 1900s. And I think it was probably about the time they introduced the state income tax. And to get all the counties at that time to go along with it, they said, well, we're going to share this with you guys. It's not going to be all pumped into our coffers. We're going to help you guys out. And that's been the formula for the last, 100 years. And anyway, back in the 1970s, they tweaked it again considerably. The Thompson administration tweaked it. And under the Thompson administration, the attempt was really made to allow, they put a cap on what we could charge or what we could levy. They put a tax on the county's tax levy or a cap on it. And they did some things with the formula that said, well, you can increase your tax levy by a certain percentage of new construction. Okay? Well, our friends down at the Southwest Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission, of which we are a member, told us that simply to keep up with inflation, Richland County would have an impact on the raising the levy according to that formula, we would have to build the equivalent of 2 Walmarts in the county per year just to keep up with inflation. Well, we know that. and if you drive around the county, yes, you are seeing some new building now thanks to the effort of the mayor and others. But so you've got to have quite a significant amount of new building. But anyway, very quickly, that in 2001, the revenue sharing from the state was $1.36 million to the county. In 2022, that amount is $1.22 million. Well, that's a decrease of 12% simply in dollars. Now, if you factor in inflation, we're talking almost a 50% decline. So, and then there are other cuts besides the revenue sharing. The state also shares money with us for general transportation aid. That's the amount the county shop gets for roads, and that started out in 2001 at $757,000. But in 2017, it was only $592,000, and it has been fluctuating back and forth because it's tied directly to what the county itself spends. Unfortunately, for many years, we weren't spending much money because we were putting it into other things. So we weren't spending money, and our GTA, General Transportation Aid, was going down. With roads now costing $23,000 a mile for seal coating, $255,000 a mile for reconstruction, you can see that money goes very quickly. So another area where the state has decreased funding is out at our campus, the UW Platteville Richland. And in 2016 and 15, 2015, the school year of 2015-16, the state helped there, the state university system helped drop 28% in one school year, and it's dropped incrementally since then. So two big areas that, besides the general revenue sharing, general transportation aids, the help to UW systems, and at the last county association meeting, which was just held up in Sauk County, Richland County, and I was proud of our county. I'm always proud of our county, but I was particularly proud because out of the 70 or so resolutions, two of them were put forth by Richland County. One, requesting the state of Wisconsin to support the UW colleges to bring it back to 2015 levels, and another resolution, and this one, it was quite specific, imploring the state of Wisconsin to increase state shared revenues and state highway aids for Richland County. And that gets people's attention. I know this is not the state legislature, but it is the county's association, and the county's association is our voice. And they do an incredibly good job, and they know that state revenue sharing has to be examined, and they're, I guess, every day probably at the doors of the legislators down in Madison trying to get that accomplished. And I think that our little resolution that we introduced, things like this interview today, will get their attention and they'll address it. And I don't want the state to spend down until they're broke, like the state of Illinois has 0% in their rainy day fund. No, I don't want that at all. But we've got to achieve a balance here so we can continue. The county is the state's arm, basically, on a local level. We do everything that the state needs done. We take care of the roads. We distribute health and human services dollars. We police. The county sheriff, I think, goes back hundreds of years, probably to 1842, when the county was first broken off from, I think, Iowa County. But probably the first official here was the county sheriff. So, goes back a long way.
Thinking about that resolution that talked about Richland County specifically, that's significant, isn't it, Marty, when you have 71 other counties, you know, that could also put their name in that those counties would come together and approve it with Richland on it. That says something, doesn't it?
That says something, that they realize that we're, well, because several things are unique about the county. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's a great place to live. It's also losing population. Our population is aging. It's hard to communicate in the county because we just borrowed over $8 million to put in a tower system so our firemen and policemen can talk to each other or talk to dispatch. So many things make us unique, and it is getting attention, Ron, and we appreciated the support.
Todd, when we think about this narrow time frame, you know, and what kind of a time frame is the ad hoc referendum committee working on, and when is your homework or assignment due?
As Marty said, any attempt, I guess I'll say, to go to referendum has to get to the state on the state's calendar. They decide that. So the best way to say that, we're meeting frequently and consistently. There's still a great deal to sort through. We're not going to slap a recommendation together to meet a timeline. So the answer to your question is, we'll meet as many times as we have to hit the timeline as prescribed by the state.
Do you find, as mayor of the city of Richland Center, that the issues that, you know, Chair Murphy Lopez is bringing up and others are talking about, that you have similar circumstances and challenges with which to deal?
We do, but there are some significant differences. Marty just detailed for everyone how many things the county has to cover. It's a huge list. It's a much bigger area. It affects a lot more people. There are more things on their list. So, yes, we do. The city does get state aid, too, for example, things like that. But the challenges are very big for the city, but they're just not the same level as what the county has to deal with. What Marty just explained, in case anybody didn't understand that or missed it, is the upgrade to our emergency communication system. So there's a great example of something the city's not going to be asked to pay for on that level. So this was $8 million, is that right, Marty?
Right.
Okay, and the reason that had to be done now was?
We can't communicate. We're losing, we're dropping signal, trying to get to Casanova, for instance, or to Boaz or other Lone Rock, I think, was a dead spot. So
and isn't your terminal outdated as well? You know,
terminal's outdated, yes, Ron. It's being held together with baling wire and duct tape. I mean, it really is. The terminal that we're using for dispatching are using radios, Motorola radios, that were given to us by La Crosse County because they had reached the end of obsolescence for them, and they gave them to us, and we've patched them together and made them work now for, gosh, 10 years. But we need to do this critical issue.
Sorry, Todd, I didn't mean to jump in.
No, I think you're allowed, man. You're the host.
But you wanted to say, in talking about the timeliness of these projects, I mean, those are things that you're looking at. But then we think about, and maybe, Marty, I'll come back to you, the ad hoc referendum committee. Was it an outgrowth of these community and public sessions that you had where you allowed people to voice their opinion and talk about what was important to them?
Yes, absolutely, Ron. It became obvious that when Clint Langreck and people point at Clint, how could you let him do this? Well, man is doing his job. He pointed out areas in our budgeting process, the things we spend money on, and said, okay, here are some things that are not mandated, and when we say mandated, required by law, here are some things that you should probably start looking at. And that's, yes. And I told Clint, well, we're going to have meetings and we're going to get public input, which we did. And part of that, the logical conclusion was we probably should have a referendum and look at, could this program be kept if we had sufficient funding? So that's where it came from. And, luckily, we had people who were willing to step forward.
Mayor Todd Coppernol and County Board Chair Marty Brewer are guests on the morning show this morning. Mayor, when you're a part of the referendum committee, will it be the committee's decision on how large the referendum might be? Or does the committee say yes or no to the referendum and then hand that off to the finance committee?
I wouldn't say either of those things are true, because all we can do is make recommendations. So what we will do, after we've sorted through everything, and I need people to understand, we are sorting through everything. Marty has said it more than once on this program today, reviewing everything that the county spends tax levy dollars on. So in plain English, the county percentage of your property taxes. What is the county spending that money on? Where does it go? Which department gets what and why? That's what we're sorting through, because you can't make a solid fact-based recommendation if you leave any of that out. We are way past, rephrase, the county is past the point of being able to pick and choose things they like, don't like. PEP project over here, that might not be popular over there. We're talking about a pretty significant imbalance in the county budget. I don't know how else to say that.
The county budget is for 22, approximately $36 million. And of that, about 10.4 is actually levy dollars. So you can see, well, where's all the rest of the money come from? Well, it comes from the state. It does. And it comes from the feds. The Pine Valley revenue is primarily Medicaid federal dollars. So by having our institutions in place and having people in jobs, they're able to generate revenue. So you have to weigh the revenue generated against the cost of having the basic services.
And we just reached the point, the whole purpose of the committee is it's time. It's simply time. For the county has some money for the 23 budget, which was money, the best way to say it, COVID relief funds.
The
ARPA funds that the county had to get them through this budget process that's concluding now, which covers the 2023 budget. What this committee is looking at, that then the county board will make decisions on, will be for the 2024 county budget, because there won't be ARPA or COVID relief funds available at that point. So you can't continue to say we'll deal with this tomorrow. There's no way to do that. So what we're trying to do, and what we're going to do, is make the best fact-based recommendation this committee can make to the county board based on actual information, not opinions and friendships and what they always used to do, where it is, where it must go. This is the truth. This is what we think. Here's our recommendation.
When you receive that recommendation at finance, Marty, what will happen then? Will you be the ones that decide how large the referendum might be?
Well,
if there is a referendum, I don't.
Yes, that's right. And I think probably we'll see a range, perhaps, in recommendations. If you want to do this and continue this, you'll be asking for this. If you take away that and this, then you can ask for a lesser amount, perhaps. The difficulty I see for the referendum committee and for the finance committee is asking for money to continue programs. If you want to build a building, for instance, and you put it on referendum, do we need the building, do we not? This is what it's going to cost. I mean, I'm not going to say that's easy, but it's easier to grasp when you're in the voting booth. They want a new building, and they're willing to pay for it. So the questions we're going to ask are pretty basic. Do you want to see a cut, for instance, in the sheriff's department? Do you want to see a cut in other departments? And if you feel that way, maybe we'll have several options that might be the best, although I know when I vote on referendums, I say, well, gosh, why are they asking me so many questions here? But I think our electorate are educated enough and savvy enough to understand the issues if we craft them carefully.
Would the referendum be a one-time or recurring type of referendum?
Well, that's an excellent question, Ron, and I'll quote something that I picked up, and this was a recommendation from the Pew Foundation. I believe they're a nonprofit group. But anyway, they cautioned, in this case, they were talking to the state of Colorado about using ARPA funds, but the state should not use one-time money to increase ongoing expenses to a level that is unsustainable over the long term. And I believe that that's what we've done in Richland County over the years. We needed the nursing home when we established it, and it was deteriorating to the point where it would have cost more to try to fix up the old buildings than build new ones. So we built new buildings because we recognized the need in the county. But you have to look at the sustainable cost over the years.
If we were going to make an analogy, when school districts have done a recurring referendum for ongoing expenses, that would be close to what you're considering, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would, Ron. That's right. That's why we thought it was important to involve, in my opinion, someone from the school board who perhaps had gone through the referendum cycle and perhaps knew a little bit what we're talking about.
But that's also the difference between why there's discussion about a referendum for ongoing expenses where there wasn't for the radio tower communications project, right?
Well, that's right. And we didn't put that to referendum. We because you have county board representatives, a representative democracy, so those people were elected to make those kind of decisions, and they did. Could have been put to referendum. Didn't feel it was, you know, necessary or expedient because, once again, the current system's being held together with daily maintenance.
I know that people can come to the meetings, the ad hoc meetings, if I'm not mistaken, Todd. They can watch them on WebEx. The county posts them on the website. So it really is an open, and you're hoping and striving to make it a transparent process, aren't you?
That we are, and yes, it can be attended in person or virtually, and we will have updates of the next meeting times, I'm sure, announced here on the radio. We also post them on Facebook. There are several places updates are being posted on Facebook, but going forward, one place we'll be using is the Richland County Sheriff's Department page. The reason we chose that is because they have a big following of people who live in the county that watch that page consistently. Therefore, using the Facebook algorithms to our advantage, their content is shared with more of our people, and it will be seen. So you can look on there or tune in, of course, to WRCO for updates.
Is there something you would like to say on behalf of your role or the committee in general that we haven't mentioned thus far, Todd, or something you'd like to reiterate?
Simply this: not only have no decisions been made at this point, no recommendations have been made to this point. So whatever you've heard about whatever will be cut and whenever it will happen and whatever that will lead to, you're way ahead of yourselves. No decisions have been made. No recommendations have been made. When we get to that point, obviously, that will be reported. And then you'll know. Then we'll know. Right now, we're still sorting through a great deal of information. And the reason we are is because this matters that much. You can't shortcut this process. It means too much to everyone in this county. So we're doing this the right way. It takes a little time. We know we have deadlines. We'll hit them. When we have announcements, we'll make them.
Sounds good. Marty, a final word that you'd like to be able to share this morning?
Just knocked the mic over. Excuse me. The meetings that we had where we invited the public, we were talking about, I think, 6 or 7 specific resolutions dealing with several different items. The campus was one. Simons was another. But I would tell you this, that was only, and I don't like to use this analogy, but I will, the tip of the iceberg, because going forward, we're looking at massive, massive cuts in some of our largest programs. For instance, public safety, the sheriff's department. So those are the issues that we need to deal with going in the future, setting up sustainable programs or modifying the programs so they can be sustained. And that's one of them that we, like I say, the sheriff's been around since 1842, so we'd like to keep him a little bit longer.
Now, this, and I preface this question, Marty, with if, you know, in that large if, because Todd said no decision has been made, no recommendation has been made. But if that was the decision or the recommendation and finance said yes and the county board said yes, would the vote then in all likelihood be in next spring? And when then would that, when would the referendum kick in?
We'd like to have it in the spring election, and probably then the referendum decisions would kick in as soon as the 24 budget, perhaps.
That's when it's needed, is it not?
Yes.
Okay, then I guess the answer is the intent, if, and it's a giant IF, if a referendum is ever on the ballot, the likelihood is it would be next April, and then the voters in the county would make the decision, and if it passed, it would impact the 2024 county budget.
Will there be a time, Todd, do you think the committee will say, here's your choices, or will that be something when you hand it off? In other words, if you pass, yes. If you don't, this is what's going to happen. Does that come from the county as opposed to the ad hoc committee?
That's a great question, Ron, and I think it's probably a blend of both. The folks at the county are already aware of what's at stake. They know what would have to be cut if. And the simple truth, nobody has to like this. I don't either. The truth is, absent more revenue, which if a referendum were to happen and if that referendum were to pass, that's more revenue. Absent that, when your budget is not balancing, one choice remains, and that's to cut services, to cut costs.
Right.
There's no other way to do this, guys. There's no other way to do this. Just like in your house, I want to add that bedroom on the house. That would be great. Yeah, so do I. Whoops. You know, this bill is up and we didn't get that money we thought we might. We got to put that off. Or downsize something we bought, sell that thing. The money is what the money is. That is precisely the position that Richland County is in right now. So it's either there has to be more money or there has to be less spent. There's no plan C on that.
And I mean, you're looking at a reduction in services, and obviously it has to be.
I think the best scenario at this point is for every elector in Richland County, every constituent, to be as informed as they possibly can, you know, to thwart the rumor mill that Mayor Coppernol talked about just a moment ago, Marty, but to stay informed, to stay in touch, and then be able to make a decision based upon facts, and then let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, and the rumor mill isn't always a bad thing, though, Ron. It proves to me that people are wandering and talking and concerned. When it gets bad, I suppose, is when somebody makes a strong assertion one way or the other without knowing the facts. And that's the challenge to the ad hoc committee and then the finance committee and the county board, is to get this information out there, but get it out there in a usable form. You can inundate people with facts, figures, and sheets of graphs, and we've got to keep it as simple as we can.
So we understand. That's your public education component.
That's our public education component.
You've also worked with the Wisconsin Towns Association, haven't you, Marty?
Well, yes. And I think have you met with them, Todd? I think our local towns were meeting last week, I think. Townships,
right.
We're talking about.
Right. I was not at that meeting, but I'm sure Mr. Murphy Lopez was. I have attended one of their meetings. I wasn't at the last one, but yes. And continuing to educate the public will be a big part of this, too. I mean, it's only fair and logical. I mean, we're getting educated as a committee on all of this right now. How could we possibly expect the people who live in the county to know all of this stuff if we didn't? And we, in this case, I'll be more specific. I represent city government. Mr. Unbehan represents the school district. So we don't have all of this information from the county because we're not on their committees and so on until now. But the point is, if this goes to referendum at some point, people will have to decide by voting. And they can't do that if they don't have the facts. So we'll continue to share those.
Sounds good. It's good to have both of you here today. Thank you for coming. I really appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Ron.
You're welcome.
For having us.
Richland County Board Chair Marty Brewer and Richland Center Mayor Todd Coppernol have been our guests on this part of the program. We'll take a short break. When we come back, Mayor Coppernol will have some additional things to share from the city of Richland Center. And we look forward to additional opportunities to be able to share information on behalf of the Ad Hoc Referendum Committee here on The Morning Show from WRCO-FM. Richland Center Mayor Todd Coppernol stays with us on this part of the program today for a few additional updates. Maybe we can recap, if someone's just joining us today, Mayor, with the large item pickup. There were some items that were missed, and the city is on that this morning.
Correct. I'm aware, for example, some neighborhoods on the south end of the city. I'm aware. I spoke to the city streets superintendent, Terry Nelson, before I came in here this morning. And he was at that time in the process of driving through the city and finding the places that were not completed. The pickups were not completed on Saturday, and his next move then was to be a phone call with Town and Country Sanitation to find out when they'd be back over here to get those things. And then I instructed him to please contact WRCO as soon as he's done that and get an announcement on the air. The same thing happened in the spring. Not everything was picked up on the scheduled date, and they came back a couple of days later. I don't know this, but I suspect it's simply a staffing. Every business I know is fighting with staffing issues right now. That's probably the case. But I also noticed, too, there was a lot of stuff at the curbs around town. I think more and more of our people have been taking advantage of this opportunity. They may have simply run out of truck space. But Terry will be in touch to have an announcement today so people know what to expect.
Well, coming up on Wednesday between 3:30 and 6:30 at the Community Center, residents of the City of Richland Center can be a guest of City Utilities and, I think, really educate themselves and take advantage of the opportunity to learn more about the services that are critical to all of us.
Correct. It's an open house. Everyone, please, you're welcome to attend, as Ron said, Wednesday, 3:30 to 6:30. At the Community Center, there will be representatives from our City Utilities there. Meet, greet, ask any questions you want to. I think it's a great opportunity. I hope we get a big turnout.
Well, bring us up to date with building. Maybe we can talk about the building right across the street from us here. Boy, they're making good progress.
They sure are, and we should talk about that. That is the future home of Dunkin' Donuts. AT&T and then TriStar Mulch, which is already over there, will be located. So three businesses in one new building. And the reason I want to talk about it, yes, it's making good progress. The last update I had was that the intent was for those businesses to open in mid-January. That's the target date. If that changes, I'm sure we'll pass that along. But let's give some credit here to the person most responsible. That's Mr. Ryan Jones. And I want to thank him for choosing to invest in the community, because it's his work, it's his money. He is funding, he will own that building, therefore he's funding its construction, and he's the one who went out and found those businesses and convinced them to sign leases to rent space in his new facility. That's what we need more of, local investment, right? That's how things get done, whether that's bringing businesses in or building new homes. You can't do it without the money.
Well, we think about that. That was a kind of a dilapidated property. And, of course, there was the fire to deal with and so forth that destroyed some building that was there. But there are other areas where you're trying to move forward to reclaim property, aren't you?
We are. And this is a program. When I first became mayor in April of 2020, I grabbed Jason Glassbrenner, who is, of course, the economic development director, and we drove around town. Now, remember, this was lockdown time, so there weren't many people around, and we just took the time to cruise around town, look for open lots. Why are they open? I'm talking residential lots in established neighborhoods where the infrastructure is there. The street is in. All the water, sewer, electric is right there. Why are those lots empty? That does not help the city. And then look at that house over there. Wow, it's in terrible shape. What's the story there? And now in two instances, the city actually has wound up with ownership of two of those properties in a program Jason established with Richland County. As it happens, these are properties that the county took possession of in issues. It was back taxes, just in plain English. And so eventually when that happens, the county becomes the owner of the property. And what used to happen is then Richland County would pay to, if it needed to happen, to tear down what was there, if that needed to happen, and then they would auction off the property. And many times, they didn't recover their costs for doing all of this. And other times, people then would use those lots for things other than building a new home on there, and that hurts. That really hurts a small community. It shrinks the tax base, which increases the tax burden on the neighbors. It also removes one more chance for a family to live here. And then you ask me, why don't we get one of these businesses or those? And I say it's about traffic counts. It's about future profitability. They want to see growth in population. Well, that's how you prevent it. So what happened is, first at 460 West 1st Street, the city became owners through this program with the county. The county took ownership, sold this to the city for $1. We had the house demolished, and now that property is for sale. And it's zoned residential 1 or 2, which means you could put a single-family house or a duplex on it. Again, it's 460 West 1st Street. And we now have ownership of the house. I don't remember the house number. It's the corner of Jefferson and Union. And we have ownership of that. And we are now going out for bids for the demolition of the house and garage at that spot. That's a corner lot. And then again, when we get that far and the buildings are removed, then we will list that property for sale as well. Two nice residential lots that had houses on them for generations. Again, the street, the sidewalk, all the utilities, the hard part of getting the building done is already done. The stuff is there.
Net new construction.
Net new construction. Thanks, Ron. Are you preparing a run for office?
No, I'm not. I've just heard you mention it every time you're on the air.
That term is critical. Net new construction is in state law, and what it says, if in a city, in a county, in a village, to get more money in the general fund for that municipality, you have to have new construction. And we're talking about taxable buildings, so houses or businesses. Things like schools and churches, of course, are tax exempt. So I guess you really do have two categories, new homes and new businesses. If you're not getting new buildings, you're not getting new money. And over the course of time, you dig a financial hole. So going after new construction is critical. And that's why I say it every time I'm down here.
It's good to have you. I know you're on a tight schedule this morning, Mayor. Thanks for coming. Best wishes.
Thank you. Before we go, before we go, when Marty Brewer came in, he mentioned one of the many jobs he's doing right now. He's working as a driver's ed instructor for Ithaca School. He's also a bus driver for them. We started sharing behind-the-wheel stories from our own teen years. All of us did, and everybody had one, right? And I thought of one right away. My behind-the-wheel instructor was the football coach, Mr. Avitus Rip. Now, this is the most unique personality I can think of to teach kids how to drive defensively and play it safe. Don't be aggressive at all. This is the football coach who loved to start every practice with the phrase, give him a shot. You know, hit him hard. Well, not in a car. So my first day in behind the wheel, this is the summer of 1983. I was 16 years old and very worldly. All you had to do was ask me, right? Just like every 16-year-old that's ever been. And my first day behind the wheel, he had me take a left turn onto Central Avenue to drive past the Brewer Public Library. And when so I did everything by the book, right? Stop properly behind the stop sign, signal my intent, look left, right, left, sit in the right posture, the hands at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, everything by the book. And as I began to pull out, I saw there was a kid, I'll say 10 years old, on a bicycle, riding right down the center of the street, looking straight down. He had no idea there were cars anywhere. This child was in his own world, coming right up the middle of the street, not watching in front of him. So what I, of course, should have done is just sat still and waited the extra 15 seconds and let the kid ride past. But what I did instead is decided to impress the football coach by showing him how aware I was just going to take that turn a little extra wide and make sure I missed the child. And I did miss the child with ease and missed a parked blue Corvette by about 8 inches. And Coach Rip stopped the car with his brake, just as abrupt as you could, you know. And he leans across me as this child is now about to reach the car. He leans across me to my open window and goes, "Watch where you're going." And this child now is cycling at 200 miles an hour to get out of there, right? And Coach looks at me, and he called me CC back then, or C. He always had nicknames for every kid. So this kid is now riding away with sparks coming off his wheels. Coach calms down, looks me right in the eye, and he goes, "See, if you would have hit the Corvette, we would have really been in trouble." That's my Avitus Rip behind the wheel story for everybody today. Every time I get together with people I grew up with, the Coach Rip stories just fly from every corner.
They're so awesome.
Because they're true. That's why they're awesome and authentic as could be.
What a great way to kick off Hornet Homecoming Week.
It is.
Remember your best football story.
Absolutely. And I just thanks, Ron, as always, for having me on. And thanks to the listeners. I shared my time this month with Mr. Marty Brewer, the County Board Chair, because of the seriousness and the significance of the issues facing the county with their future budgets. I thought it was important for everybody to hear from Marty, so I shared my time. And the likelihood is that will happen again next month. Ron, thanks for having us down here.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We'll see you soon. Hope that you'll join us again for the morning show tomorrow. In fact, Jason Glassbender is our scheduled guest. We'll talk economic development here on the morning show from WRCO-FM.